First lesson is from Acts chapter 3, verse 11 through 21. While the lame man who had been healed clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 4 responsively. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause.
You set me free when I am hard-pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory?
How long will you worship dumb idols and run after false gods?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful.
When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me.
Tremble then, and do not sin.
Speak to your heart in silence upon your bed.
Offer the appointed sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, "Oh, that we might see better times."
Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart.
More than grain and wine and oil increase.
I lie down in peace, at once I fall asleep.
For only you, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
The second lesson is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to the Lord for the blessings of heaven.
The Gospel is from the 24th chapter of St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As the disciples were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are your hearts troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Invite you to share your Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. I needed a job my first year of seminary in St. Paul, and I landed a job as an orderly at an intermediate care nursing home. Now, I was the only one on the staff, which I don't know how that worked, but I worked the graveyard shift, and I know you're not supposed to say graveyard around old people, so that's not a good term, but I had the graveyard shift all through the night on a Saturday night, which is not the greatest hours. My job was basically to do hourly bed checks for the residents and clean toilets during the shift, and so it was It was hard to stay awake in the wee hours of the morning, and so I would sometimes put my head down on the desk, and I know I wasn't supposed to do that, but I was the only one on staff, and try to catch a few Z's, but it was a rough time to make it through. They didn't have air conditioning, so in the hot days of summer, they had fans going, trying to keep the air moving in that place, and there was an upstairs, and on one of my rounds, I went up the stairs, and I turned to a corner, and I saw this dress flapping in the wind. This is like 2 a.m, and I thought it was a ghost. I was scared out of my wits. Turned out that one of the ladies wanted to dry out her dress with a fan, and that's what startled me. It's a good thing I had a strong heart. Ever been scared like that? Out of the ordinary. The unexpected can cause our hair to stand on end. But it's also human nature to flirt with things like the paranormal. There's a part of us who like to be frightened. Now, I know, I doubt if too many were young in the 40s, in the 1940s. That was before my time. But before television, people gathered around the radio into the living room, and they sat down and they listened to entertainment and the news. Oh, they would listen to the Lone Ranger and Fibber McGee and Molly, Superman, suspense, and the scariest of all was Inner Sanctum. And you can see where the theater of the mind, we've lost that theater of the mind where your imagination just runs wild. Inner Sanctum, which means within the holy, would begin with a screeching door. And then the word Inner Sanctum. And it'd make your hair stand on end. And later when I was a child, I would watch television, the series Thriller. Anybody watch Thriller as a kid? Boris Karloff would begin, "Bolt your doors and shut your windows. You're in store for a thriller." I can't believe my parents allowed me to watch something so dark and so demonic. But it's human nature. We like to tell ghost stories when we're around the campfire, don't we? And we'll even pay money to see horror movies. Can you believe it? We pay to get scared. However, gospel reading for today suggests another ghost story. The disciples, minus Judas, have gathered in Jerusalem along with their companions, as well as those two that walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Suddenly, Jesus popped unannounced into their midst and said, "Boo!" Well, actually, he said, "Peace be with you." But the effect was the same. You'd be scared too. They were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And you would think that maybe the disciples would get used to these sightings of Jesus. After all, it wasn't the first time they'd seen something extraordinary. How about when Jesus saw that they were out in a boat and Jesus was on land praying and he wanted to get a closer look at what was happening in their distress? He walked on water. And how did they react? But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and they were terrified. I mean, no one walks on water. Remember the catch of many fish? They had toiled all night and caught nothing, and Jesus said, "Let's try it again." And they went out, and what happened? They caught so many fish that their nets started to break, and they had to bring up another boat to bring in all the fish. So what was Peter's response to that miracle? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." How about the transfiguration, where Jesus appeared with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." They were terrified. Now, in this post-resurrection scene, they knew that Jesus was dead. Dead and buried. He was so dead that the soldiers didn't have to break his legs as he hung on the cross, something they would do ordinarily due to hasten suffocation. And further, some of their own, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, had taken the lifeless body of Jesus and arranged for his burial in a garden tomb. Yes, he was dead. When Jesus showed up, they were startled and frightened, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. This is what happens when we're confronted with the holy. Maybe you haven't had an experience like that. But even though Jesus said, "Peace to you," it didn't matter. No one comes back from the dead except for a ghost. Holy. What does holy mean? Can anybody tell me what holy means? Set apart, different, separate. We have many fears. The number one fear is what I'm doing right now, standing in front of you folks. So I rely on the grace of God for that fear. But there's another one called xenophobia. What does xenophobia mean? It means a fear of strangers or foreigners. We don't feel comfortable. We don't trust people who are different from us. It takes a while to build up that trust. German theologian and psychologist Rudolf Otto wrote a little book last century called Das Heilige, which means the idea of the holy. And he studied different cultures from Aborigines to Europeans to Africans to discover the normal human reactions to the holy. And he said the common experience of the holy is one that is mysterious but also powerful. It provokes a sense of fear in us. And he detected across the board a response of ambivalence. Some of the holy attracts, and on the other hand, terrifies. I think of the prophet Isaiah in that temple vision in Isaiah 6, where he saw the train of the Lord's robe that filled the temple. And Isaiah was a righteous man. He had a lot of things going for him. But here he was, and he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone," which means coming apart at the seams. Wow. What is striking in the midst of this terrifying event in the gospel is Jesus' persistence in dispelling the notion that he was a ghost. He's tried to dispel it. And he goes to great pains to demonstrate that he's not an apparition or a phantom or a ghost. This crazy love of Jesus, who pursues us as he did his disciples, no matter what our condition or response or lack of faith, no matter what our fears. Why are you troubled, he said? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? You see, Jesus wants fellowship with us. He wants our friendship, and he will not allow our fears and doubts to separate us from his love. He went out of his way to show that he was human, just like us. Look at my hands and my feet, he said to his disciples. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Yes, Jesus was dead, and yet here he was asking them if they had anything to eat. They fumbled around and found some broiled fish and gave it to him, and the ghost promptly ate it in their presence. And we know enough biology to know that ghosts don't eat. One of the great doctrines of the church is the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we've discussed this many times at our text study amongst pastors, how important the bodily resurrection of Jesus is. He's not an apparition, some kind of spiritual presence only. He is real. And the scriptures bear witness to this truth. For example, John begins his first letter with this unequivocal assertion. And he says this, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it." Then he adds, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit comes." We started with six, and we're down. So it shows kind of the fading of Easter, but I hope your spirit is not fading as we celebrate Easter every Sunday here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. So we welcome you, and we pray that today's service will inspire you to continue on the Easter glory that he is risen. Yes, Jesus was dead, and yet here he was asking them if they had anything to eat. They fumbled around and found some broiled fish and gave it to him, and the ghost, condition or response or lack of faith, no matter what our fears, why are you troubled, he said. Why do doubts arise in your hearts? You see, Jesus